You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're meeting two candidates now for Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. Southport is a unique little city that sits near the confluence of the Cape Fear River and the Atlantic Ocean. It was voted America's happiest seaside town by Coastal Living in 2015. And it really is little. The city covers not quite 4 square miles. In 2010, the U.S. Census Bureau pegged the population at slightly more than 2,800. Today, the estimate is about 3,600 people call Southport home. The city was founded as Smithville in 1792, and in 1887, the name changed to Southport. There are two open seats in this first ward on Southport's Board of Aldermen that carry 4-year terms. One whose term expires this year, Mary Ellen Poole, is not seeking re-election. Karen Mosteller carries the other expiring term. She is running again for her seat, and we will meet her next week. Joining us now is Robert Tucker. He worked as Southport's Public Services Director until a previous city manager eliminated his position in 2014 during a board retreat. Part of what city manager at the time, Carrie McDuffie, called a reorganization. Before that, Robert Tucker worked as the assistant county engineer in Wake County. He served as county engineer in Brunswick County, and he was director of development services in the town of Cary. He also served as chairman of Southport's planning board from 1991 to 96. He is currently vice president and director of engineering for East Coast Engineering and Surveying. Robert Tucker, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you can ask your own question of Robert Tucker during this segment by calling us during the live Thursday show at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Robert Tucker, let's start with the big picture. How would you describe your long-term vision for Southport?
Well, I think Southport is, as you said, it's a very small community, but we are probably the largest community of that size you've ever seen. Southport, by its geographic position, it really serves as a hub to Oak Island, Boiling Spring Lake, St. James. So a lot of retail activity goes on in Southport as well as our tourism trade. So we really do feel a lot bigger than a small town of that size. One of the issues that I have seen is that I don't think our current board or even some of our past boards have spent enough time trying to develop a vision to take us down the track to the path that we want to be. I'd like to see us be able to look a little longer term to see where do we want to be 30 years from now? Where do we want to be 40 years from now? And I think it's fairly easy to say where we want to be next year. And that seems to be what we do, is we do a lot of, we want to look this way next year, but oh, the year after that, we may want to look a little different. But we don't really have a long-term vision. I think we need to have a good long-term vision. We need to spend the effort to develop one and then create programs and make our operations take us there.
Well, since you're running for the board, throw a long-term vision out there for us. We know that Southport's population is growing. It's a significant amount of growth from 2010 to 2016. It's also a unique city, and it's, you know, it's the quaintness of Southport is one of the selling factors. So is there a way, do you need to balance the thing that makes it a little city?
Yes, I believe we do. I'm for what I would consider smart development. I think development that keeps in tune to the existing development that we have, honors those historical aspects of town, particularly in the downtown area. I think that's the kind of development we need, maybe some mixed-use development downtown that has that same sort of style to it. I think as we go further outside and out of town, I'd like to see us have more office space, more retail space, as well as more residential space. So that's kind of in a nutshell, what I'd like to see.
Are there ways that Southport could be collaborating more with its neighbors like Boiling Spring Lakes and Oak Island?
Oh, most definitely. Southport has always kind of taken the attitude that we go alone, and I heard a statement made recently in a board meeting that, well, we were doing this long before anybody else in the county was doing it. But that doesn't necessarily mean you were doing a great job of it. It just means you were doing it. I definitely think we can get more benefit by collectively working with other municipalities and trying to cement those relationships. And then we can go to the state and other agencies and probably get a whole lot more, as well as trying to take advantage of opportunities to go do that recruitment and try to bring those commercial concerns in we'd like.
You are in a unique position because if you are elected to the Southport Board of Aldermen, you'll be someone who's worked for the city as an employee, and then you have the local government view. You were summarily dismissed during a board retreat in 2014, the same year that Kerry McDuffie was hired as city manager. For those who remember that and didn't really understand what happened, how would you explain that?
Basically, I went to the retreat on Saturday and gave my part of the retreat. Immediately after that, they asked for a recess to go do something else, and as you say, I was summarily sent to the door. But that's not why I'm running for council. I'm running for council because I lived in Southport 30 years ago. I loved it. We were living in Raleigh. I wanted an opportunity to move back to the coast, and particularly to Southport. Southport's just in my blood, and I just like to see better things and good decisions in Southport. So,
you are working now as vice president and director of engineering for a firm in Shallot, an engineering and surveying firm in Shallot. That sounds like a big job. How could you possibly take on additional responsibility like being an alderman?
Well, we work a pretty fixed schedule overall. We work 4 9-hour days, and we work a half a day on Friday. So that does give me some time. And as well, I'm flexible, so I can take time and take when I need it to do other things. One of the nice things about working with a company like that is I'm able to work with other municipalities. I also serve as a town engineer for Carolina Shores. So I'm into municipal stuff and work with other municipalities as well as doing private work.
For those who aren't familiar, explain what a town engineer does, and what does that mean that you would bring to the Board of Aldermen in Southport?
The town engineer generally reviews development proposals that come for projects that come to town. They consult with us on a wide variety of things. We've done drainage improvement projects for them, street improvement projects, advised them on budgetary issues. We're doing a fairly large stormwater study for them currently. We just get involved in a lot of things at their call for areas that they just don't have expertise in-house for.
Speaking of drainage issues, we know work is beginning on what's happening near Southport's waterfront, the Yacht Basin, an area on Bay Street where there are a number of restaurants, and that has been just a serious flooding issues
right there.
Is the fix that is being implemented something that you think, as an engineer, will solve the problem?
I think it will certainly help the problem. There's the only real way to cure the problem is you've got to elevate that area above what it is currently, and some of the existing businesses that are around the edge are lower, so there's got to be some compensation to try to get them higher and get them above the flood elevation as well.
You're talking about putting them on stilts?
Possibly putting them on pilings, possibly just filling in certain areas to get them up, to flood-proof them.
We're talking with Robert Tucker, who is running for Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. You can ask your own question on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. If you win a seat on the board, where do you see the electrical grid going? Does it make sense to keep it under the auspices of the city of Southport, the control of Southport, or should this go to Brunswick Electric?
Well, currently we do own and operate the grid. Brunswick Electric actually operates it under a contract for us and maintains it. I do not have any – I think you get – generally more efficiency from larger groups, and I think perhaps that there might be some efficiencies that we could get if we did get out of the power business as far as ownership. We are in the process of putting the major lines underground now, and which would be a plus. And I think that goes back, part of that goes to that thing that I mentioned earlier about trying, what do we want our community to look like? Do we want a bunch of ragtag power lines hanging around everywhere to look at, or do we want it nice and clean? So, but I think there is certainly some potential to consider divesting ourselves of that. I think there's also potential to consider the same, and I know it's been some consideration has been given to it, but I think there all along there's maybe some opportunity to consider doing that with our utility systems as well.
Tree preservation has been kind of a knotty question. Sorry, that wasn't on purpose. For the city of Southport. Southport is known for its fantastic, these spectacular live oaks, many of which are very old. And, of course, the Southport Forestry Committee recently submitted a text amendment to the board. This is according to the state port pilot that would require a number of things, developers and builders having to submit a tree plan. Have you looked at that text amendment, and do you think it does the job? Where do you think the tree protection needs to go?
I think they're on the right path. I think that's a great resource. Certainly, it's a part of what makes Southport Southport, and I think we need to do everything we can to protect those existing trees.
What about development, though? I mean, isn't that the rub?
That is somewhat of a rub, but development can occur in most cases and still work around those trees.
A hotel is set to go up on Southport's riverfront, and the planning board approved this project to the dismay of some nearby property owners. There are really two questions here, I think. The specific question about this hotel, we know now the developer will sell the rooms to investors and then have those rented out. Is he operating within what the city approved as that business, number one?
Well, I think he is operating under the approval that he received, but I think that goes back to that question of what do we want Southport to look like? That was a loophole, or maybe not a loophole, but it was a hole in our ordinances, and we didn't realize that they could actually do that there. Certainly by my way of thinking, you've got residential, single-family residential property surrounding it, and it gives you a little donut hole of multifamily type property. I'm not sure that that's a good thing to have in that particular location. And again, I think that's one of those things we really need to sit down and focus on and think about, you know, what our ordinances will allow.
And you called that something of a loophole or a way that he could get around it. What specifically would you like to tighten up?
I'd like to tighten up the uses along the waterfront so that there were specific uses, tighten down on them much, much more. Either that or set it up so that most of the uses have to be special use cases where each use gets evaluated.
Recently, Southport went after, there was a bill filed in the General Assembly to allow Southport to have an additional tax on prepared food and beverages. And the idea is this tax would be used towards Southport's erosion problem. What is Southport's erosion problem? Where does that come from, and how does it need to be handled?
The flow of the water in and out of the Cape Fear River generates quite a bit of shear stress up against the bank, and the continual flow of boats up and down, shipping vessels going into the state port, the commuter ferry going back and forth to Bald Head, all of that weighs in to create erosion processes. So that's where the basic erosion process comes from.
And we have a question from a listener. What would you do to keep the city on firm financial footing?
The city has been, over the past 10 years, spending down a lot of money out of its reserves. The fund balance, or the savings account, as you might call it. In 2010, I think our fund balance was up a little over 40% of our overall tax base. Currently, it's down about 23-24%. For a community like us down near the coast, we need to maintain a higher fund balance in case we have an emergency situation like a tropical storm come in. When you have a tropical storm come in, then you can have major costs that you have to cover immediately before you can get those FEMA reimbursements.
And that's our time. Robert Tucker, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back from this break, we'll meet Mark Spencer, and we're taking your questions during this live Thursday discussion by phone at 910-343-1138 and via email at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.